What we've been able to do is tackle a problem that has plagued the federal government to where CIOs across the board have been too focused on infrastructure and not enough at the intersection of how the American people access services. So we recognize that there was a growth in the number of data centers. In 1998, there were about 432 data centers. We just completed a detailed inventory, and the new number is 2,094 data centers. We've already embarked on one of the largest data center consolidation initiatives in history to eliminate duplicative spending and make sure that we're moving towards agile cloud computing platforms. The Department of Homeland Security, for example, is going to go from 24 data centers down to 2 data centers, and that work is already underway. The Department of Interior is going to go from over 100 data centers to 20-plus data centers. And across the board, what you're going to see is massive reduction in the number of data centers, which is going to lower our energy footprint, make sure that the investments that we are making are not being made and the technologies of the industrial era, but we're making those investments in 21st century technologies. We're also driving efficiency in terms of how people access government services, whether that's USCIS and people want to figure out where they are in the process, whether it's for a green card or citizenship, to the point where you can track your application now in the same way you can track a FedEx package, or it's the student aid office, where now instead of having students who are applying for student aid get data from the IRS and then get the same data from the Department of Education, we've brought the two entities together, simplify the process, eliminating dozens of questions from the student aid application. And the reason that happened was because we focused on the citizen rather than focusing on the bureaucracy. It used to be that Department of Education and the IRS would say that they can't collaborate. What we found was a simple solution where we said, well, why not allow the IRS to share that data with the student, and you click one button and it will auto-populate a student aid application, providing easier access to education to millions of people around the country. Around cybersecurity, our big focus has been around moving away from a model of where we continue to invest in paper reports to a model where we're moving towards actual cybersecurity. I've cited many times the example at the State Department where over the course of 6 years, the State Department spent over $138 million on generating paper reports with the cost per page at $1,400. Imagine if that same capital was deployed rather than in writing reports to actually improving cybersecurity. That is why we've invested in the Department of Homeland Security to create red teams and blue teams. And these teams would actively attack our own systems, and blue teams would actually go out there and fix those systems. But more importantly, a shift in cybersecurity to where we're actually getting real-time data analytics across the federal government in terms of how these agencies are performing when it comes to cybersecurity, rather than generating paperwork reports. What we've done as far as an open and transparent and participatory government has been very much focused around fundamentally shifting power. And what I mean by that is shifting that power to the American people through platforms like data.gov, where we started with 47 data sets in May of 2009. And today we have over 270,000 data sets on every aspect of government operations. And data, from our perspective, is not just data to hold government accountable, but it's also to drive innovation and to make sure that we're creating the next generation of platforms to allow economic development and growth in industries that we can't even imagine today.